Flashes of thought and mountings of the mind come fast upon me. It is shaken off as by miraculous gift. 'Tis shaken off, that burthen of my own unnatural self. The heavy weight of many a weary day, not mine, and such as were not made for me. Long months of peace, if such bold word accord with any promises of human life, long months of ease and undisturbed delight are mine in prospect. Whither shall I turn? By road or pathway or through open field, or shall a twig or any floating thing upon the river point me out my course? Enough that I am free. For months to come may dedicate myself to chosen tasks, may quit the tiresome sea and dwell on shore, if not a settler on the soil, at least to drink wild water and to pluck green herbs and gather fruits fresh from their native tree. Nay, more, if I may trust myself, this hour hath brought a gift that consecrates my joy. For I methought, while the sweet breath of heaven was blowing on my body, felt within a corresponding, mild, creative breeze, a vital breeze which travelled gently on all things which it had made, and is become a tempest, a redundant energy vexing its own creation. 'Tis a power that does not come unrecognized, a storm which, breaking up a long-continued frost, brings with it vernal promises, the hope of active days, of dignity and thought, of prowess in an honourable field, pure passions, virtue, knowledge and delight, the holy life of music and of verse. Thus far, O friend, did I, not used to make a present joy the matter of my song, pour out that day my soul in measured strains, even in the very words which I have here recorded. To the open fields I told a prophecy. Poetic numbers came spontaneously, and clothed in priestly robe, my spirit thus singled out, as it might seem, for holy services. Great hopes were mine. My own voice cheered me, and far more the mind's internal echo of the imperfect sound. To both I listened, drawing from them both a cheerful confidence in things to come. Whereat, being not unwilling now to give a respite to this passion, I paced on, gently, with careless steps, and came ere long to a green shady place where down I sat beneath a tree, slackening my thoughts by choice, and settling into gentler happiness. 'Twas autumn, and a calm and placid day, with warmth as much as needed from a sun 2 hours declined towards the west, a day with silver clouds and sunshine on the grass, and in the sheltered grove where I was couched, a perfect stillness. On the ground I lay, passing through many thoughts, yet mainly such as to myself pertained. I made a choice of one sweet vale whither my steps should turn, and saw, methought, the very house and fields present before my eyes. Nor did I fail to add meanwhile assurance of some work of glory, there forthwith to be begun, perhaps, too, there performed. Thus long I lay, cheered by the genial pillow of the earth beneath my head, soothed by a sense of touch from the warm ground that balanced me, else lost entirely, seeing naught, naught hearing, save when here and there, about the grove of oaks where was my bed, an acorn from the trees fell audibly, and with a startling sound. Thus occupied in mind, I lingered here contented, nor rose up until the sun had almost touched the horizon, bidding then a farewell to the city left behind. Even with the chance equipment of that hour, I journeyed towards the vale which I had chosen. It was a splendid evening, and my soul did once again make trial of the strength restored to her afresh. Nor did she want Aeolian visitations, but the harp was soon defrauded, and the banded host of harmony dispersed in straggling sounds, and lastly, utter silence. "Be it so, it is an injury," said I, "to this day to think of anything but present joy." So, like a peasant, I pursued my road beneath the evening sun, nor had one wish again to bend the Sabbath of that time to a servile yoke. What need of many words? A